Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 980, is Yajna Sadhana. These are two words combined to make this name, two words that we are all familiar with. Yajna means sacrifice, is the general meaning given to yajna, or more broadly, a means to attain a spiritual goal or even a material goal by religious means. And the word sadhana has a similar meaning, although the two words are not exactly synonyms. But sadhana means a means to attain a particular perfection. Yeah, actually, yajna means a means to attain a particular goal, some particular thing that is desired. And sadhana is generally used in the sense of a means to attain a perfect state or an accomplished state. So sadhana can also be there in tantra or yoga for acquiring mystic powers. In bhakti, we take sadhana to mean the basic processes, regular processes of purification. Yajna sadhana means that he, Vishnu, is the means for performing yajna. So the means for the means, if you like. He who is an accessory for the sacrifices. I'll explain that. But the point is that it's being emphasized that we may think, I'm doing this yajna, I'm chanting these mantras, I'm pouring in the fire, or the sponsor of the yajna, the yajaman, I'm doing so much, making a big sacrifice. Of course, the yajaman, the one, he may be a big king, sponsoring a major sacrifice, he is enjoined to be humble, because pride destroys everything. There's one point we find again and again and again emphasized throughout Shastra, that even though we may do the yajna or whatever else it is perfectly in terms of procedures, but if we're proud, then we get an opposite result. But in terms of the very utensils used for the sacrifice, the means, the method of doing sacrifice, we should always remember, and even our ability even to pick up the spoon for the ladle for pouring ghee in the fire, everything's given by him. That we should remember. We can't do yajnas without him. We can't do anything without him. So this name serves as a reminder. It also, the yajna sadhana can be taken in another way also to mean that he is the goal aimed at through the procedures of performing yajna. And again, these series of names about yajna, there's overlap in meanings. Parashabhata gives the meaning that the attainment of the desired results from performing a sacrifice come about only because of knowledge about him. And this is especially applicable in those who are engaged in service to him, whose aim in performing a yajna, or whose aim in performing a yajna is not any material profit or boon, but whose aim is to simply please him. And in that matter, persons who live their life with the aim to please him, for them, Krishnarthe Akhila Chesta. Everything they do is for his pleasure. And so everything they do is yajna. It's not some special event or something that's done daily. Yajnas, there are, what I mean by special event is, there are special sacrifices performed, huge sacrifices, major sacrifices, such as the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Yudhishthira, or the sacrifice performed by Dasharath, Putreshti Kamana Yajna for acquiring sons. So these are big public sacrifices. And there are also daily sacrifices performed at home, which was a required practice for all members of the Brahmana, Kshatriya, and Vaishya Varnas within the Varnashram system, small at home. So whatever kind of yajna it is, it may be a major public yajna, or it may be a daily yajna performed daily in the morning. Some people do morning and evening. Nowadays, it's rare to find people performing these kind of yajnas at home. I haven't seen anyone doing it for quite a few years. Long time, actually. But for a person whose whole life is meant for pleasing Krishna, well, that their life is a yajna because it's based on the knowledge that he is the master, we are the servants, and that everything we do for him, and we offer, just like ghee and grains are offered into the fire, but everything we do is to be done with love for him, not simply as a ritual. So this brings out the point that, as we learn again and again and again in discussions about devotional service, it is not so much the substance of that which is offered as the spirit of dedication behind it. It doesn't mean that the yajna shouldn't be performed properly according to the proper system, but the feeling is most important. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that he, Vishnu, gives knowledge about how to perform the yajna, and in this way he makes the performance of the yajna possible, and therefore he's called yajna sadhana. So again, knowledge is emphasized, and the attitude is emphasized with faith, with feeling, with dedication. It's this attitude that Bhagavan accepts. This is the means to attain him. There's no mechanical means. Press this button and then press another button, chant this mantra, do Dandavat Parikrama of Govardhan 5,000 times. Ooh. I'm sure you get a lot of mercy for doing that. Chant 64 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day. It's not exactly what we do, although things like chanting should soften the heart. Performing Dandavat Parikrama of Govardhan should invoke feelings for Krishna. But it's those feelings which is the means to attain him. in this regard, there is a well-known verse that Krishna speaks to Uddhava in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Na sadhayati mam yogo. Na sadhayati. This is not sadhayati. This is not the means. Na sadhayati mam yogo na sankhyam dharma Uddhava. Na swadhyayas tapastyago yata bhaktir mamorjita. So Krishna says that yoga, sankhya, analytical study, dharma, properly following varnashram dharma very piously, swadhyay, studying the Vedas, performing austerities, renunciation, none of these, Krishna says, can satisfy me in the same way that bhakti, devotion offered to me does. Very important verse. So everything, this used in the sacrifice, the spoons, the ghee, the grains, the mantras, they're all given by Vishnu. They're all originating in him. We have the term Atma Yoni coming up soon, which means he is born of himself and everything is born from him. We have again Bhagavad Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnau Brahmanahutam Brahmaivatena Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Everything in the sacrifice that is offered to him, it's all meant for offering to him. It's all him, and is none different from him. So this verse can also be invoked for yajna sadhana. And again, the most important thing that's needed, yes, grains are needed, ghee is needed, the utensils are needed, the brahmanas are needed, the organization, the system, everything is needed, but most of all, love of Krishna is needed if we're going to bring the yajna to its real best conclusion, which is love of Krishna. Again, Sankirtan yajna is the means to attain him in this age, in every age, but especially in this age. Raghunath Tirtha gives another meaning, that yajna refers to auspiciousness. And since Bhagavan gives auspicious results, he is called Yajna Sadhana. So it's a slightly different angle. Name 981 is Yajnantakrit. Yajna means sacrifice. Anta means the end. And krit means who does, who brings about. So he who brings about the successful conclusion of the yajna, that means you start it and you finish it, and it's done. But until something is done, you can't say it's done. That sounds like a truism, doesn't it? But whatever you do, you don't know if you're going to be able to finish it. It's by his mercy that we can finish up any task that we've started. Just like when Srila Prabhupada started his elaborate translations and commentaries on Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses, 12 cantos, started in what he called the fag end of his life. It was a huge undertaking. It's a lifetime's work. But he undertook it, and he was able to do up to chapter 13 of Canto 10, and it was eventually finished by disciples of his. So it was brought to a successful conclusion by the grace of Krishna. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, again, in his old age, very diseased condition. He says, I don't know if I'll be able to complete it. But he did. He was brought to successful conclusion. He says, by the grace of Madan Gopal. Myself also, little me, I started a series of talks on Vishnu Sahasranam. It's a big undertaking if one is to speak on each name, not just cursorily. I haven't finished yet, but the end is in sight. I may not finish it. If it's possible, it will be possible by His grace, Vishnu's grace, Yajnantakrit. And I pray that He gives myself and those who kindly like to listen to these talks the fruit of this yajna, that they may become ever more increasingly enlivened in Krishna consciousness. In this regard, we can also quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 18, text 76. This is just two verses from the end of Bhagavad Gita, in which it's no longer Bhagavad Gita in the sense that it's no longer Krishna speaking, but it's Sanjay speaking to Dhritarashtra. Rajan sangsmritya sangsmritya sangvadam imam adbhutam Keshav Arjuna yo punyam hrishyami cha muhur muhuhu. Srila Prabhupada's translation. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The understanding of Bhagavad Gita is so transcendental that anyone who becomes conversant with the topics of Arjuna and Krishna becomes righteous, and he cannot forget such talks. This is the transcendental position of spiritual life. In other words, one who hears the Gita from the right source, directly from Krishna, attains full Krishna consciousness. The result of Krishna consciousness is that one becomes increasingly enlightened and he enjoys life with a thrill, not only for some time, but at every moment. So let us pray to Yajnantakrit, the one who brings the result, the ultimate desired end of the yajna, that those who hear it, this speaking I've been giving on it, it's not finished yet, remember, that by hearing this, you become increasingly enlightened, you cannot forget such talks, and that by remembering all the time, you enjoy life with a thrill, thrilled by Krishna, not only for some time, but at every moment. If such a transcendental result can be had from hearing these talks, then certainly my life will be blessed. And those who hear this, I request you, if you feel any thrill in hearing this, or if you feel enlightened, by increasingly enlightened by hearing this, that you please pray to Yajnantakrit, Krishna, who brings to fruition the aim of the yajna. Pray to him to bless this poor soul who somehow, by the causeless mercy of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, has been engaged in and still engaged in this yajna of speaking on Vishnu Sahasranama. Now, this bringing about the successful conclusion of the yajna, again, It's an overlap with names previously just given. Some of the understandings given to the names, but it's not boring. Repetition, when we're talking about Krishna, is not boring. Devotees love seeing similar attributes of Krishna illumined from different angles through different names. Some commentators have taken the meaning of Yajnanta as the last item in the yajna. So that can mean the fruit of the yajna, the last thing. You do it all and you get the result. You do this, 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 and you get the result. This is also reflected in the meaning that Srila Prabhupada gives to the name Yajnavirya, which appears in Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 9, Text 31. Srila Prabhupada translates Yajnavirya as the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is able to give the results of sacrifice. Now, from the Gita, as several times quoted in this series of talks on Vishnu Sahasranama, especially these concerning yajna, the ultimate goal of yajna, even though not everyone has that goal in mind, but the real and the best result of yajna is knowledge, as we learn from Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna says, Shrayan dravyamayad yajnyaj jnana yajna parantapa sarvam karma kilam paratha jnane parisamapyate. O chastiser of the enemy, the sacrifice performed in knowledge is better than mere sacrifice of material possessions. In other words, simply putting grains and ghee and other things into the fire, better than that is to do it with knowledge or to act on the platform of knowledge. Even if one doesn't do that kind of yajna, offering things into the fire, if one acts throughout his life on the platform of knowledge or teaches knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that jnana yajna is better than the mere sacrifice of material possessions. After all, O son of Pritha, all sacrifices of work culminate in transcendental knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada has translated karma here as work. So karma. Karma in the Vedic definition means activities, or one of the definitions. The main definition to be understood in the appearance of the word karma in Bhagavad Gita, very important word, central word in Bhagavad Gita. So karma means an activity according to the Vedic direction. So yajna is itself a karma, and its goal is, ultimate goal is to attain true knowledge of Bhagavan. That is why on the Vedic path, one is directed to act for dharma, artha, and kama, knowing that moksha is the ultimate goal. Actually, beyond that is prema. But people, religious people in Varnashram society, they perform dharma for the sake of artha and kama, and they should progress to the stage where they're not performing yajnas or any activities simply for the sake of getting a pious result, but nishkam karma. They do it without the desire for a material result. And that, doing that is because one has attained knowledge that material goals are not the ultimate goal. And by doing yajna in that spirit, doing any karma in that spirit, one is enriched more and more with knowledge. Parashara Bhatta explains this name Yajñantakrit to mean that Bhagavan is called Yajñantakrit because he is given this system of yajna in which the attainment of true, perfect knowledge about him is the ultimate end and goal of all sacrifices. Now, we should also remember that when we speak about knowledge in Vedic parlance, it doesn't mean simply information which one has stored in one's brain, but it also means, and very importantly, it means how one acts in one's life. It's reflected in how one acts in one's life. So we find in the Gita, amanitvam, adhambitvam, Krishna gives a list of qualities, the lack of desire for honor, the lack of arrogance. He gives a list of qualities. Etajjnanam iti proktam. This, I've told you, this is knowledge. Also famous for those who are students of the Upanishads is the statement from Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Tameva viditvati mrityumeti nanyah panta vidyate yanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing this, which of course ultimately is understood to mean knowing Krishna. There is no other way to achieve this. Nanya panta, there's no other way. This is it. So, Krishna is Yajna Sadhana. We just had that name. Yajna Sadhana. He is the means, sadhana, in performing yajna, and he is the sadhya, the ultimate goal of yajna. Krishna is Yajñantakrit. He makes the end of the yajna. And in some cases, he blesses the conclusion of yajna by personally appearing. As for instance, we find in the case of Prithu Maharaj, that Lord Vishnu personally appeared in his yajna arena when the whole proceedings were beginning or were getting quite tense due to the theft, repeated theft by Indra of the sacrificial horse. And Vishnu personally appeared and cleared everything up. Daksha is well known for the sacrifice that he performed, which became very unruly to say the least. But ultimately Lord Vishnu appeared there also. And we find therein, after his appearance in the sacrificial arena, that the wife of Daksha prayed to Lord Vishnu, "My dear Lord, it is very fortunate that you have appeared in this arena of sacrifice. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, and I request that you be pleased on this occasion. The sacrificial arena is not beautiful without you, just as a body is not beautiful without the head." Very meaningful, considering that Daksha lost his head. Literally, that's the saying, if someone's lost their head, means they've become very, very foolish, or they've become mentally imbalanced. But literally, Daksha lost his head. But the wife of Daksha is saying, the sacrificial is not, arena is not beautiful without you. Of course, Vishnu doesn't always appear in every yajna. It's unusual. But that point should be remembered also, that even if the yajna is being performed with great pomp and ceremony, if remembrance of Vishnu is not there, it's not beautiful. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning of Yajnantakrit, that Bhagavan decides or bestows the final fruit of the yajna. This is very important, because we may think, I'm doing this, we're doing this, we're making a big yajna. The karma mimamsakas think that we are performing the yajna and we don't have to bother about Ishvara, because if Ishvara is there, then we do the yajna properly and he's bound to give the result, because he's bound by the Vedic rules. He has to do it. But he's not. It's up to him. He makes the Vedic rules and he upholds the Vedic rules by giving the results, but he's not bound to. Similarly in devotional service, as Srila Prabhupada comments, we may do our devotional service very carefully and exactingly, but we can't force Krishna and say, hey, come on now, you have to give me prem. I'm really trying hard. No, the result is ultimately up to him. And then we segue into the next name 982, Yajna Guhyam. This is the last in this series of names directly having the term yajna in it, although the theme is continued in the next name also. So yajna guhyam. Yajna again means sacrifice, and guhyam means that which is very secret, hidden, or confidential. So he is the secret of the sacrifice. That's the meaning that Baladev Vidyabhushan gives, and many commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam. Several other commentators give this meaning. In other words, he is the chief aim to be attained by sacrifice. And one meaning, the meaning that Parashara Bhatta gives, is that not everyone understands this. We know from Bhagavad Gita that people worship the demigods, that means they do by yajnas, but they don't realize that it's ultimately aiming at Krishna. He is the ultimate object. Of course, Bhagavan's not in need of any offering, but he feels satisfied and enjoys the offerings as if he does want them, if they're offered with love. But if they're offered just formally, we get a formal result. We may or may not get, because generally he gives. But the real secret behind performing yajnas is to satisfy Krishna. With Sankirtan yajna also, we can sing very nicely, play madanga very nicely, learn so many different beats on the mridanga, so many tunes, make a big orchestra. But we have to remember, it's all meant for Krishna's pleasure, not for our pleasure. So this point is important. To understand this, we also have to hear. And simply performing the yajna, but we should hear about the real meaning of it. That's why we find in yajnas, in major public yajnas, that brahmanas are called, and between the sessions, because the yajnas don't go on all day, there'll be sessions when the fire is, there'll be sessions where things are being offered into the fire, and in between, the different brahmanas will discourse to those who are inclined to listen, to those who know the value of listening. They'll discourse on Vedanta, or they'll discourse from the Puranas, and in this way one can hear and come to understand about the Vedic knowledge and understand the real meaning behind the yajna. Parashara Bhatta quotes from Mahabharata to support his understanding. Sarve Veda, Sarva Vedya, Sashastraha, Sarva Yajna, Sarva Idyascha Krishna ha, Vidu Krishnang Brahmanas Tattvato Ye Te Sham Rajan Sarva Yajna Samaptaha. Sarva Yajna Samaptaha, that means at the end, at the complete end of all sacrifices. So again, it's by Singhavaloka Nyai, the logic of the lion looking backwards. We are just looking back at the previous name, the Yajnantakrit, but this name is quoted, this verse is quoted to uphold the meaning of Yajna Guhya. All the Vedas and all that is to be learned in all the Shastras and all the sacrifices, all worship, they all are Krishna. Those who know Krishna correctly in this way can be considered to have completed all sacrifices successfully. So this is the secret of bringing all sacrifices to their full conclusion. Again from Mahabharata, Parashara Bhatta quotes, Jyotinshi Shukrani Chayani Loke Trayoloka Lokapalastrayicha Trayognayascha Ahutascha Pancha Sarve Deva Devakiputra Eva. All these shining luminaries in the whole universe, the three worlds, the three guardians of the world, the three fires and the five offerings in the holy fires, and all the gods, all are Sri Krishna, the son of Devaki. It's a secret. It's in Mahabharata, but it's a secret. Just like we have this word Guhyam in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. This is the king of knowledge, the most secret of all secrets. What secret? Bhagavad Gita published in millions, even before Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, was published in millions and distributed all over the world. Gita Press had published Bhagavad Gita in various editions, some with just the Sanskrit, some with Sanskrit and Hindi translation, some with Sanskrit and Hindi translation and explanation. Gita Press had distributed millions, but what's the secret? How is it the most secret, the king of all secrets, Bhagavad Gita? Because not everyone understands its purport. So similarly, not everyone understands the real meaning of yajna. And this can also be extended to say that yajnas are performed for other deities, but the real deity who ultimately receives all the offerings and ultimately gives the results is Vishnu. Not everyone knows this, not everyone understands this, not everyone wants to understand it. Even it might seem the gods are giving and they may say, I'm very pleased with you. They may personally appear also and say, I'm very pleased with you. I'm very pleased to bestow this boon. But you can know, or we should know, or not everyone knows, therefore Guhyam, that it's Bhagavan who is behind them, who is giving this blessing. And he is satisfied with the living beings who represent him as various deities, devas, demigods, and he gives them the ability to bestow fruits because he's satisfied with them and gives them such a post. Therefore, by their satisfaction, they can offer boons to their worshippers, but ultimately it is Vishnu that is giving. Another great secret is that, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, when the devas are satisfied, they will give you the fruits of your sacrifice. So Krishna set up this system whereby the devas are satisfied and they satisfy the humans on this planet Earth who offer to them. So he's the ultimate object of all yajñas. He's the one who set up the system. He's the one who makes them possible. He's the one who brings them to the right conclusion. Not everyone understands this. Therefore, he is the secret behind them all. Yet another dimension to understanding this name, Yajna Guhyam, is that Krishna, his kindness, is brought out by giving to the worshipper who offers something which is really quite meager, something he is offered to Krishna, but Krishna gives a huge result in return. We are limited. What we can offer is limited. Krishna is unlimited, and what he can give to us is unlimited. Even in the Sankirtan Yajna, we just chant Hare Krishna. It's a simple thing to do, but there's no limit to what Krishna can give. He gives Atma Prajanto Prasad. Krishna Shabhav Bhakten Aloy Aparad. Alpo Seva Bahumane Atma Prajanto Prasad. Even we may make mistakes in our performance of devotional service. We make offenses even. But if our attitude is basically one that we want to please Krishna, then Krishna doesn't see the offenses, but he sees even a little service that is given, he thinks it is very great, and in return, mercifully gives himself to the devotee. So this is a great secret. We give a little, and even that which we give, we can only give because he gives it to us so we can give it to, so that we can give it to him. So this is not revealed to everyone. Not everyone is eligible to understand this. By Guru's mercy, one can understand. Otherwise, it's a secret hiding in broad daylight. Yajna Guhyam. Again, the point is that the attitude or the thought is more important than the act itself. In other words, when one aims simply to please Krishna, rather than getting some material benefit. This is the real secret behind the performance of yajñas. This is the real way in which it should be done. So he is the confidential aspect of yajña. There's the external performance of it. We see a yajña, fire sacrifice. Someone is making the fire. Someone is pouring ghee in the fire, someone is offering fruits and grains. That's all that is seen. But there are many internal aspects. The power of the yajna, the devata, who is the ultimate aim of the yajna, the power of the mantras, the one who gives the result. These are all the subtle aspects. Not everyone can understand all these. These are concealed or hidden aspects. Therefore, Bhagavan is called Veda Guhya. We find in the Bhagavatam, at the appearance of Lord Varahadev, Varahadev is intimately, particularly this form, Varahadev, this form of Vishnu is intimately related with Yajna. So we find the rishis prayed to him on his appearance that, O Lord, your form is worshipable by performances of sacrifice, but souls who are simply miscreants are unable to see it. Yajna Guhya. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.